By my rights, it's 7:01 Verizon time. So, shall we start? You got the recording going and everything? Why don't we start with the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is the March 2nd, 2020 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunter, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunter County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunter County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunter Review, and the Star Ledger, no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Ms. Kleinhans, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Ms. Butcher.
Absent.
It's
no fun, Katie.
I know. No fun. I know.
Mr. Blazer.
Here.
Mr. Finns.
Here.
Mr. Kilda.
Absent.
Ms. Pining is here. Mr. Kochanowski.
Absent.
Mr. Lazarus.
Here.
Mr. Scheich.
Here.
And Mr. Smith.
Here. We're good. All right. First up, we have meeting minutes. They were previously distributed. Executive session minutes from February 3rd, 2020. If anybody has any questions or comments, we'll have to table them. But if you're okay with it, you see the eligible members there.
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Second?
I do have a comment, but it's a minor.
If it's a minor, yeah, what is it?
It's that I wasn't present, but I heard it, so I just need to be added to the, to the top. So I'll second.
With that addition of putting you there. Sorry, and a second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Blazer.
No, I'm not eligible.
Mr. Higgins.
Yes.
Ms. Higgins. Yes. Mr. Lazarus.
Yes.
Mr. Shane.
Yes.
Mr. Sinead.
Yes. I think that's it. Thank you. So we have for the folks in the room here, we have our attorney, Katie Raisin, on the phone listening, and we have our engineer, Kathy Marcelli. We have a resolution. It was previously distributed. It's the CRC Communities at Headley Farm Estates, Inc., Headley Farm Estates Subdivision, Block 46, lots 33 and 3301. It's a 4.5-year extension of the final subdivision approval protection period from February 6, 2020 to August 6, 2024, an extension of time within which to obtain signatures on the final subdivision plat and to record this final subdivision plat from February 6, 2020 to August 6, 2024. I believe Katie, the applicant, had also seen this and was okay with it?
That's correct.
I don't know if John made the corrections, Katie, but on the last page, both Kleinhanses are spelled Kleinhouses. So if you could make that change.
So they're spelled, okay, so we'll make sure the names are spelled correctly. So whatever motion is being made will include a correction to Klein Hand to spell it correctly.
Also, I believe I'm eligible for this, even though I'm not listed on the eligible. But this, Lazarus, sorry.
Yeah, you were here?
Yes.
All right. So let's, with those adjustments, fixing Ms. Kleinhans's name and adding Mr. Lazarus.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Mr. Higgins, and thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Whenever you're ready, the roll call.
It would be, are you eligible?
I am.
Okay. Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kochinowski is my guest. Ms. Kleinhans, yes. Ms. Kleinhans. Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Simmons?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you. So now we are at the Master Plan Consistency Review, Hunterdon County Emergency Services Center, Block 33, Lot 10, 59 Petticoat Lane.
Good evening, Chairman and members of the board. I'm Assistant County Counsel for Hunterdon County, Aaron Colton. And I'm appearing.
Can you just spell your last Aaron? It's Aaron, right?
Yes, it's Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Colton, C-U-L-T-O-N.
Thank you.
I'm Assistant County Counsel, and I'm here this evening on behalf of the county to present the county's plan for review by this board of the Hunterdon County Emergency Services Training Center at the complex on 59 Petticoat Lane. With me this evening are Frank Bell, the Hunterdon County architect, Anthony Catana with Spiesel Architectural Group. He's the lead architect on the project. Sean Fedditz is also with him. He's also with Spiesel Architectural Group. Also got Kyle Humphreys with T&M Associates, the lead engineer for the project. So we're here this evening to present the plans for this project, answer any questions you may have, and consider any concerns which the board may raise review by the county and any members of the public, although I don't see any here.
Yeah, so, is there anybody from the public here?
No, the only other person here is Shana Taylor. She's Hunterdon County Council, so she's
okay
with us.
So I will note that there is nobody from the public. That's for the record.
Okay.
All right.
So at this time, I'm going to just turn the floor over to Mr. Catana, okay, the lead architect, to present the architectural plans for this project and open it up for questions to the board. So he's got something prepared to review with you at this time.
Okay. Now, before you start, Katie, just give us do you mind just giving us a little refresher here? This is a
Section 31A review.
Okay.
The language states, the project is referred to the planning board for, quote, review and recommendation in conjunction with the master plan. So you essentially, you essentially review it for consistency purposes, although it doesn't, use that word, but you can review it in conjunction with the master plan, and you can also make recommendations.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Mr.
Catana.
Catana, you're up.
I'm Anthony Catana. I'm a senior project manager with Spiesel Architectural Group.
Does this work? It doesn't seem to be working. The only other thing you can try to do is grab one of those. I know it's a little, that works pretty good.
Is that better?
Yeah, that should be better.
Okay. Anthony Catana, I'm a project manager with the Spiesel Architectural Group. I've been licensed in the state of New Jersey since 1994. I'm a graduate of Drexel University. I've been on, slow down, sorry. I've been on the East Windsor.
No,
I don't think we need to.
It's not a public hearing.
Nope.
Yeah. I just figured I'd give you some background.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've been on a planning board myself for the past 20 years, and I've presented before numerous boards throughout the state. As you're aware, Hunterdon County is proposing to upgrade their emergency services training facility, which is currently located at 59 Petticoat Lane in Annandale. They're proposing to build a new administration building, which includes classrooms, a vehicle storage building for all their apparatus, and a burn building, which is a training facility for firemen, along with some exterior props and parking and basic site amenities. The existing facility that is there will be raised, except for one existing training tower will remain. We'll get a new paved road. See from the plan here, there's a new paved road that comes up. The administration building is here. Parking is here. Vehicle storage building. This is the burn building, which is a multi-story building. There's what's called the extraction pad, which is basically an exterior concrete pad that they use for training for burning cars, for getting people out of cars. So there's some exterior things. There's also an exterior prop for trench rescue. Basically what they do is they simulate somebody getting stuck in a pipe trench or something and getting them out of there. The administration building. It's a one-story building. It's made up of an office area, lockers, and bathroom facilities, and basically classroom spaces that can be subdivided into smaller spaces and larger spaces. Try to keep the character of the building to be farm-like. It is a fairly large structure. It's about 12,000 square feet, about 26 feet tall. The exterior of the building is a mix of horizontal, verticals, fiber cement siding, so it'll have the appearance of a big barn. Vehicle storage building, as you can imagine, is basically a big metal panel box for storing fire apparatus. So all the fire trucks and fire equipment will be stored in here. There are 5 bays. It's about 5,000 square feet. It has a small mezzanine in the back for storage of some equipment. Overall, it's a good piece of facility for this district because right now some of the vehicles get stuck outside in the rain and we're trying to make sure that they're safe. The last building is a little bit more elaborate. It is a burn building. It is basically a 5,500 square foot, four-floor building. It consists of office space, a basement like a house, residential areas that simulate a house. The idea behind a burn building is they try to simulate different areas and train the fire department in how to rescue people in a fire in different facilities. So whether dealing with commercial buildings or residential buildings, this building will provide that ability. It is 4 stories tall. There's a maze area that they can have panels and doors that will enable them to switch up how it looks. And if you've ever had the ability to walk through a burn building, it's pretty scary. And I give firemen a lot of credit because it is pitch black in there. There's no light. It smells like smoke. And when they're burning stuff, I can't imagine even wanting to be near the place. But it does help them learn how to become good firemen.
Just a question. I see the fifth floor is at 1396, so what is the actual top of the building? That's not carried out on the front?
It varies. The roof is like a split-level roof. Yeah. So you'll end up with...
on the right with the...
you'll end up with... you see that there's a tower and a tower.
Mm-hmm.
There's a small tower space that's up here. It's around 55 feet from grade.
It is, okay.
And that's a small space. There's a lower roof level, and then there's the main roof level, which is here. This roof is a pitched shingled roof.
Mm-hmm.
It's used to it's used for the firemen to practice cutting through a roof. They actually put a sheet of plywood down, and they practice cutting through an existing roof, and then they throw the plywood away and put a new piece of plywood in its place. Billings also has the ability for them to rappel. There's hooks up there for them to hook onto and rappel down the building. It's set up for people to put ladders up at different angles and different areas. And it has stairwells throughout to get out safely. So if there's ever walk in a burn building, every space has at least two ways out. Every burn room has at least two ways out. Every burn room has a window to the outside, so in emergency they can pop everything open, air the place out. There's exhaust fans that are built into the building, so when they're done, they can hit a button and it just pulls all the smoke out of the building.
It's you have a rough idea of back the building height per second. So it's 55 feet overall from finished slab. Do you have an idea what the current facility height is approximately?
I would say it's pretty close. It's probably 45 feet. I think they're one. I don't think they have this additional tower at the top.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit smaller.
The visibility and, you know,
yeah. And the reason for those towers is to represent, you know, rescues and buildings that are taller and taller. So, you know, they tend to say the largest building we have to fight, we need it this tall, and that's where why they choose that.
Why the project?
The existing burn building that they have is in bad shape. It's way beyond its lifespan. The existing facility is down in a area that is controlled. It's within the waterline wet setbacks.
It's close to a pond in the Highlands Planning area.
So we're moving everything out of that. There's no storage for the existing apparatus. I think they have one of them in one building, and they have a tent for something else. And so there's not really good storage.
Do you envision the utilization being significantly different? Are you making it much bigger, or is it just updated?
No, it's just updated. I think the advantages they're getting here is the burn pad is a little bit bigger than what they have now. Right now, I think they just are using the ground. They don't have the trench facilities. They actually dig a trench, which is not safe. There's a lot of bad things happening in that existing facility. Some good things. The tower is still usable, and that's why they're keeping it. The advantage of what they're doing here is they're taking as much out of that zone and putting it back in upper level where it's out of the way.
Okay. So the existing towers stay?
Not the burn building. I think it's a smoke tower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just a tower.
Is that there's a 10-foot path that goes to the square?
Exactly.
On the prints.
Correct.
It's very difficult to discern what that was.
Yeah, it's not a road. It's a gravel drive, if you want to call it that. We tried to cut down on as much impervious coverage as possible. So we kept that a gravel drive.
Right.
They don't use the tower as much as they'll use the burn facility. And the administration building, the training center, I don't even think they have training ability down there. They do it outside in small little huts.
Yeah, Frank Dell, county veteran. They do have a small building, a metal building, which they use for their classroom training areas. However, a lot of training is also taking place at the fire departments themselves. So what we're trying to do is to really pull all this together and have one training facility. It's a little difficult for the firemen to be going from point to point to point all the time. And also, by the way, the burn building itself was done in the mid-90s. It's probably close to 25 or so years old, rougher, plus or minus. We have these inspected every single year and by the state. We have passed. However, they have recommended that we do replace it very soon because it is becoming structurally deficient. We're not quite there yet. We have repaired several times, but we're really at the point where that does need to be replaced.
These buildings generally last 20 years. If you think about it, they're burning inside a building. So, and they're doing it all the time. So they're doing repeat burns inside a building. They're designed to last. But, you know, they take their toll, and the structure tends to take their toll. And occasionally I've seen burn buildings where they get out of hand, and the fire goes too much, and they put it out, but they do damage to their building in the process. So that's why they inspect them every year. That's why they, you know, require them to be repaired. And they have their own special code that they have to follow for these facilities.
Okay.
Can I have a question?
Sure.
Can you turn to the demolition plan on the drawing to the left? I'm just a little, just to follow up on the mayor's question.
If you just flip it around.
Oh, there you go.
Can you show me on that plan? Is that drawing number C1-2.2?
That's correct.
Can you show me on there where that existing tower is to remain?
It's right here. So if you see that everything is hatched outside of the tower and that little pathway that's here.
Okay.
That's that square.
Yeah. Okay.
That's that little tiny square.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Can you speak to stormwater management and any potential impact on the people group?
I can.
So currently there's no stormwater management at the site, and it's directly, I'm going to switch to the existing condition plan. Currently there's no stormwater management at the existing facility, and everything flows overland into the creek, into the pond. What we're planning to do is take the facility and move it away from that facility. I have a grading plan. And the idea is to control the runoff with overland flow, swales, erosion control matting, just slow it down. Ultimately, the relief point is back in the creek in this corner. So we're taking everything from this corner of the site, which would flow directly in to the creek, and move it down here, and then using overland flow swales, slow it down, let the vegetation filter everything out, and then get back into the creek.
Do you know if this project will be in compliance with the DEP standards, and have you run the calculations to show that you are slowing it down?
We are less impervious in this setup than we are at the existing facility.
That's fine, but there's still other requirements. You might not have to comply with water quality, but you might have to comply with water quantity. You have to look at hydrographs from both the existing conditions and the proposed conditions, correct?
Correct.
And have you done that?
We have not.
Okay. So that would be something that I'd recommend to the planning board to consider. You will need to file for a soil and grading permit with the township. And that is one of the requirements that we'll have, that you need to show compliance with NJAC 7:8. So in concept, it may be okay, but I have nothing to prove that what you're saying is supported by any calculations.
Okay.
And actually, the waiver, the Highlands waiver, the township issue requires, I'll back up, the verbiage on the waiver form from the Highlands requires calculations. So it's a kind of a double up. And there were no calculations submitted, so basically you got a Highlands waiver erroneously. So.
Okay. Not a problem.
The lighting, and this goes to Afterglow. The lighting are 26 feet tall. The ordinance in the township is 16. I mean, this is set way back. I'm more concerned not about the height, given the height of the apparent height and mm-hmm. what surrounds and the sodium vapor lamps that surround the dormitory. But I understand these are typical overhead LED
yes.
lights with a fairly tight pattern.
Right. And, we went height to reduce the amount. The number of lights.
Oh, I understand.
Okay. And I believe they'll be able to be turned off, so they're not going to stay on if it's not in use. So,
just like I said, I just wanted some testimony that's going to be better than that yellow glow that we see for miles, as I thought it would be.
Yes.
Thanks.
How often is a facility like this going to be used?
It's typically used a few times during a week. I can't give you the exact number at this time, but a few times during the week. And a lot of this could be classroom time. There will be some outdoor time where they'll be doing the extraction pads and so forth. Burn building maybe gets used once or twice a month, depending upon what classes are going on. So that's, and also we have a shared service with the state, so the state would use this during the day as well for their purposes. So we're working with the state on that as well. The state, they do need facilities as well.
Yeah, I go up and down that road.
That's an awful lot. Never had it.
You know, once every 2 months, I might run into a couple of fire trucks and the ambient color too.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's pretty. It's a big site, and it's in the center back in there. So, you know, I think the questions you're getting around stormwater are more making sure it's managed, and I think the lights, just to make sure that, you know, there's not a lot of glow on there, because we are pretty proud of our light ordinances and our light efforts over the last decade. So
the only other question that comes to my mind, again, it's a regulatory one. Beaver Creek is the headwaters of the C1 stream. It's not currently classified as C1, the state's going to, I suppose. So it's a SORPA, and I have not seen a call out. Except on the initial geotech, there was a representation and a partial drawing of the development that makes it very much look like it's conforms to the setback requirements. I couldn't find it on the prints that I had at home, and you know, perhaps as I don't know if Kathy did, no. But if you've got that set out when you're doing the soil and grading and all that, you know.
It is on the drawings, per se. I think he's turned it off for this submission.
Right.
We do have it.
Might have been a mismanagement of a layer, but we can.
Yeah, when you submit to Kathy, you submit that, and these would be two conditions before we, I would suggest, rather, these would be two conditions before we approve building permits.
That was Mr. Higgins, right?
Yes.
Correct. Mr. can you just repeat exactly what your condition?
I should have been more clear. I think that the concerns that we have are compliance to regulatory.
I have the stormwater, I think, which we can talk about, but I just wanted to make sure I had what you just said clearly.
The current facility is like entirely within the 300-foot setback, and Highlands requires it. The thing will be a C1 stream sooner or later. It's currently a SORPA. So there are stringent setback requirements. Obviously, this project's an improvement, but it would be good to turn on that layer so we really
and
understand.
And make sure that it's Highlands compliant, you're saying?
Oh, well, Highlands and what would you call that?
Ordinance compliant?
Well, no, it's the DEP requirements for setbacks from bodies of water.
Oh, okay.
Whatever
they're
called.
Okay, I didn't understand where you're coming from.
That's
okay,
all.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Some more dotted lines.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Did the test on a site like this use that firefighting foam at all or anything, or just water?
I asked that question today, just to make sure. The only thing used to put out a fire on this facility is water.
All right.
Nothing else.
Good.
Okay. Anything else from the county team?
One last question. On your existing conditions plan, or the plan seems to indicate that there's a basin on that site.
Yeah.
Is there a basin there? A detention basin?
It is noted. It didn't look like it was very well defined.
Right, and I can see some structures in there, so
it's in the middle of a.
Here?
It's in the area that's green, that you're not saying yellow, you're not counting as impervious. The existing conditions. If you go to your land use plan, it's easier to see.
There's sort of a lot of clutter in the existing plan, and there's a very small call out for a basin.
Yeah.
All right, yep. Yeah, it looks like it only has pipes going in and nothing, no relief.
So it's going to make it harder to show that you have proposed peaks, hydrographs are going to meet your existing. If you have a detention basin there and you have nothing on the other side.
Okay.
Anything else, Kathy, from your perspective?
No, thank you.
From the board, anybody else have anything?
Probably chattering too much. It's going to be a much better facility. It's a shame it's not a rateable.
No, it's
take a pilot.
For all of the years I've been involved, I've never heard any concerns or complaints. Like I said, it's back there. You know, it serves a good purpose. It trains our first responders. Again, I guess in our scope here, we're trying to be as favorable as we can. I think we have these two concerns or conditions, recommendations, for lack of a better word, Katie.
Can I just to review, I have, do you want me to include, assuming that you're going to make a finding of consistency with the master plan base?
Hey, you there?
I'm sorry, I was on mute because I was just engaged, but I'm so sorry. So I have, just to review, assuming that you're going to make a finding of consistency based on the master plan, based on what I just heard, I have that, the issues that I have to address in my, based on what I just heard, were that the stormwater has to be addressed both as to compliance with the DEP and whatever is necessary in terms of filing for a permit, that there whatever stormwater has to be addressed in order to demonstrate a Highlands compliance, for Highlands compliance for a waiver, and that more information is needed to show that both for the Highlands and as to DEP setbacks from bodies of water. And then did you want me to include, assuming that we're moving forward in that direction, did you also want me to make the recommendations as to lighting in terms of managing, glow just generally?
I think we're okay.
Okay.
They provided testimony. They're not going to leave the lights on all the time.
Okay. So those are the two that I have in terms of,
quote,
recommendations, I guess.
This is pretty far from the heaviest case to be built.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of land, then a lot farther, right?
Yeah.
I think so. That was
it's
my impression.
It's on the other side of the creek.
Right. So it shouldn't be even visible to bother to if it's in the neighborhood.
Heavily you'll see it in that they're elevated. They're probably 45, 50 feet up.
Right.
But they're overlooking the reformers.
Well, the other side. Exactly. Yeah. And it's not there. There's lights on. Okay. That's my only concern.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so board, are you anything else? Are you inclined, as we've been discussing here, to say that this is consistent with the master plan and make those two recommendations that...
Or is it not inconsistent?
Or not, I like the not inconsistent.
Right, that's fine, yep.
I like the double negative.
That sounds better.
So, is there a motion to make that recommendation with those...
With
those two recommendations.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Glazer, and thank you for seconding it, Mr. Lazarus. Let's let our substitute secretary roll call.
So roll call would be Mr. Glazer.
Yes.
Mr. Higgins.
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans, that would be me, yes. Mr. Lazarus.
Yes.
Mr. Scheich.
Yes.
And Mr. Simme.
Yes.
So
good.
Thank you all.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Looks like a pretty good improvement.
What's your schedule for construction?
Right.
We're actually going through the building review process with Mr. Wright currently. We should have that cleared up probably end of this month, so something in April to bid it. And get out into construction probably sometime in June, July-ish or so.
Okay. I understand DCA has got custody with us for the third building.
Yes, correct.
So you ought to complete that.
Yes, we received the email from John Mosser this morning or this afternoon
I pass it on to Michael.
Okay.
We're all set.
Good luck.
Thank you all. Here, building code officials want to hand them a burn building.
Yeah, it's just different.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you learned something on this project. You know?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
So, Katie, we can probably cut you loose if you're if you've got what you need.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to prepare the letter and I'll make sure Denise gets it because she's absent. So I'll work with her on it. And if anybody has any comments, obviously let us know. And that's it. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Katie.
Okay, bye.
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 We have a little more housekeeping vouchers and all that. You're welcome to hit the road, Jack.
Thanks.
As is the recording artist there. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
You know,
I had the same. It was just
kind of off all those
dotted lines. I pulled
a Google Maps and
looked
at the satellite image.
That's
right.
Well, I said the same thing.
Yeah,
it's really
I thought it was just me.
No. I bought a big monitor, a 4K.
Right.
And I am zooming in, and
it still
couldn't.
Okay.
And my magnifying
glass. It is a good cut. I keep my other cards. I keep my other cards.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. All right, we have vouchers. They were in the box link. I've looked at them. I am okay. I did have a question. One of them was from last December, so Denise is not just at class. She's actually away on vacation. So
that was the last page, I think. It seemed like it was just floating at the end of the packet.
It was one of them there. The original voucher was mailed in December.
Yeah.
Or it was dated December. I was just curious why.
Yeah, it didn't have a PO attached to it. I have a feeling it's an extra page.
So I'm okay with the others. Good night. Anybody have any other questions or concerns? If not, I'll make the motion. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Shike. Roll call.
Mr. Glazer.
Yes.
Mr. Higgins.
Yes.
Mr. Hines. Yes. Mr. Lazarus.
Yes.
Mr. Shek.
Yes.
And Mr. Summit.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything? We'll do a couple of minutes of reports for anything of.
We had a really quiet council session. You guys probably know this. I'm not exactly sure, but I'll just mention it just in case. We did support a resolution to secure a grant to basically build a polytech school on the North Hunterdon campus. It would be on one of the practice fields all the way up close to the Beaverbrook office buildings. The state's approved a $400 million bond issue, and they're willing to spend up to half of that, $200 to $250 million, in the form of the 75% state grant towards the construction of a school up to $50 million. So the county would have to pony up 10, and the state would kick in 40. And this would allow the current outfit, you know, they move up here, get out of the rental quarters, which are expensive, and be able to expand their curricula to more trades than they can do in the current facility. So a bunch of towns, pretty much everybody along Route 7822, and those are the folks I talked to, also did that resolution. I have a feeling the freeholders are, we'll see how that works out. I was a little optimistic. I'm not so optimistic now.
I didn't know about this. So they want to move the current sort of satellite campus or polytech to North? Is that more or less?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Paying the private sector rent. Great. I mean, I think, because I think that's always been an impediment to North for these kids, participating in polytech programs. It's just, at Hunterdon Central, when I worked there, the kids just walk right over. You know, so it's like, it's seamless, you know. And with North and Borky's kids and I guess other schools as well, you know, just that lack of sort of adjacency, I think, has always been sort of a barrier.
Yeah.
So I think that's incredible. I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah. It's kicking around off the record. The fellow that runs Polytech is not the most astute politician. So, for instance, it's in Putnam Township, so he goes over and gets Janice to endorse it first. Forgot to talk to the lead freeholder. So it's a good project. I hope it passes or fails on its merits rather than on the sort of accidental annoyances, you know. So we'll see what happens. It's a lot of money for the county, though.
Yeah.
This particular project is not going to be cheap either. The only other thing is we finally settled on phase two of the Stanton Mountain. The bids kept coming out higher than we'd like, and then it became a mill and pave without sufficient attention to the underbase and the trees and drainage. So Brian Millay did a very nice job of bringing Kathy's firm back into the picture and fusing the sections with sound engineering advice that will get the full treatment with underbed and drainage. And we're hoping the engineering estimate came down by $350,000. So we're hoping the new bids will be satisfactory and will also give us a road that will hold up, not a slapdash job that was where it had degenerated to. Sort of accidentally, I might say. Thing about roads, so far the only road besides this that's on our capital plan is Hermantown, thank God.
Yeah, it's rough shape.
Escape my neighborhood now. That's the one that fell off the table last year. We got a grant for $165,000. Our engineering estimate's $167,000, so it'll cost us $2,000 or $3,000. And we're applying for, again, a grant to pave the other side of, Gray Rock. We've already got a grant to do the Gray Rock that's by Bill. The old broken down house by Cotter's.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the other side, but the school buses make a lot of noise.
Right.
Nothing much going on. Historic still trying to pull for that, not to demolish that house in Lindy. I think that'll be a failed effort. That really should come down. But we've deferred. Save money as well as to just see how everything turns out. We've deferred the demolition a bit. We are starting to develop plans with the Exxon grant of $45,000 for an environmental educational center and a shelter out there, some fire pits, reactivate the well and, set it up for camping and maybe a family get together under a pavilion. The sale of Coleman, this is not council now, it's just general real estate stuff. The sale of Coleman is just stalled. I think they may have figured out that they forgot to look at sewer. To pay $13 million for that parcel and not be certain you can actually build things out on it. And the funny thing is, Coleman apparently turned down an $11 million offer the previous summer. I've been able to regret that. Mala's still kicking around at Sherrod's. There's still activity there. Don't know if it'll turn into anything.
It'd be nice that it's the piece of property that's getting worse every week.
Yeah, they've submitted some sketches. I don't know if J.G. Petrucci is involved in a fairly, more than fairly aggressive builder.
There's a lot of potential there.
We saw some apartments and things.
The Ocean State on one side and the health that didn't stay on the other.
Yeah, that would be a great place for a while.
Would that be a
D variance at the zoning board, or would that end up being here, do you think?
It'd have to be a D, because it's a, you know, it's gas station automotive use. And you know, the idea of putting apartments there may or may not appeal. I mean, but that would be another D variance. The master plan re-exam, as you probably know.
That was what I was going to ask. I'm sorry. Is this a housekeeping matter? Is that the March 16th meeting, or do we?
I think that, as far as I can tell, it's ready to issue. The circulation plan that was attached, and shame on me, I read the circulation plan comments. I didn't look at the circulation plan for a thing.
That thing was from 1999.
That's what I was having a hard time following.
I mean, that's stuff Robert Moses would be proud of.
Right. Well, I'm assuming the comments from the 2005 plan, all the other reviews probably apply to it along the way, right?
Our population is what it was in 1999.
So, right. Well, I like the road going direct on it. That was my favorite
right.
part.
That was.
Well, you know that way back when, Mobil Oil's real estate development arm was friendly. And they actually proposed the town center there when, you know, the actual research thing was, I mean, I went to Houston to see if they sold it to Merck.
Right.
You know, it was faded.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Oh, gosh,
it was small for a while. Yeah.
Before Exxon, Levittown, Levitt wanted to build a Levittown on this. That was in the 50s.
That was pretty insane. That was in the days of La Hacienda House. That was a great Mexican place.
So given that point, what about the circulation?
Well, that's that.
Is that the question?
At least to me, there are some things in there. I didn't like the blanket statement that just said, when, aside from these three or four comments, everything in that plan stands. So we got to either somehow say, I forget where we ended up.
We'll revise it during the course of the year.
We'll revise it so we can sort of say.
Open points to.
Yeah, revise it and then add.
I assumed it was amended along the way. 2005 review, 2010 review. Wow, it's pretty dated.
I'd never seen it before.
Well, I looked online. It wasn't there.
That's what precipitated it. Remember right. Then they sent it out to us, and we all.
It's attached with the 1999 master plan.
No, it's.
Yeah.
I blame prior mayors and planning board chairman.
Yeah.
I do too.
Right. Those guys.
So I'm sorry, so we assume that the March it'll be on the March 16th meeting, or do we
I think it should be.
Okay. Yeah.
Just curious.
That's the plan is to keep it going. It was right. Just how do we keep this from
okay. And we're trying to figure out, as probably also know, we're trying to figure out the interplay with all the Highland stuff, the whatchamacallit, the land use ordinance evoked an alarmed reaction from the heavy farm folks. So we have to figure out how, in order to invoke the cluster options and make redesignating the two parcels for LeCompte and Marupian viable, we want to invoke the cluster option, but we have to have a land use ordinance to put the cluster option in. But if we do that, then the developers at Headley see problems for their project as well as the other inclusion areas. So we're going to have to kind of muddle through that. I spoke with Sean Drill this morning. And we're eliciting comments from Julie Hirsch in particular, because she's the most knowledgeable attorney relative to Highlands. And I think once we get their concerns, you know, we'll inevitably end up back up at Highlands and have to figure out how do we break this little bit of a lockdown.
So does that keep delaying the Highlands designation for the center? Or is that a separate? It's a separate issue.
The center is another issue,
right?
Because of the Headley project.
Oh, yeah. So it becomes circular.
And they aren't going to accept it until Headley can demonstrate how they can provide utilities on the site. So it's
chicken meat egg.
Yeah, I the interdependencies are they're hard for my simple brain to really wrap around. But we'll get there with a little bit of time. I think. So that's the current thing. And we are planning to move forward with the county on the Meridian Projects has kindly listed four bus stops or four link stops at, I guess we'll have to put a little sign or something so they know as they drive by.
Yeah, that's where they will be stopping?
Eventually. Now that's going to show on the schedules.
Well, that'd be a win for all trains right there, all their bus traffic.
And
we should up their rival.
So we're
the new public amenity they have.
there's more work on that coming, which I won't comment on.
So. That's good for the financing, though. That was the piece.
That was the reason why it was unanimous.
I think you also know that the wastewater management plan has been forwarded to DEP by the county. So the county endorsed it in January. They forwarded it down there. It was published in the Jersey Register and then for comment and then eventually get approved. So that's in progress, and we'd really like to wrap that up for a number of reasons. So that's my...
The air conditioners in the Willows, so they're getting darn close.
One of the women that we just added to the rec committee is got a move-in date of late March.
Oh, that's great.
She's in building 5.
Great. They look like they're really close.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they're doing fine, and, the rent up is also proceeding. I talked to Jeff Long, their manager on this, and he's very happy with the way the project moved along from a construction and inspection and all that perspective. The one in Reddington has got some soft soil, and one of the buildings is sort of sagging down into the soft soil. So they've got some work to do over here.
That's never good.
No, this lab on grade especially. So that one's a little behind. But we're doing fine, so far it's a lot of locals and relatives of locals, mostly like their parents or parents in law.
I can see it from my parking lot with no foliage. I'm happy, but I think I'll bring a letter to the mayor.
Believe me,
good battle piece.
I drove around Maple, and I really drove around that area the other day with laid out with the lights on. It's not too bad. Thank God it sits a little lower than Maple, about 30 feet lower than Maple.
Firehouse even walks.
The leaves are on the tree.
So we're actually getting some comments that it looks nice. You know,
I think it looks really nice, actually.
I haven't been by in a little while, but we always thought it was an improvement.
The one thing is the big detention pond that you build between the building and the road. You don't see it from the road because it's blocked. When you try to drive back, like, oh, that is deep.
Yeah.
But we do that. It's not, right. It's not a shock.
Yeah.
But they did a nice job disguising it. You don't see it.
Right. When you come around, you just see the...
Yeah.
So definitely a little improvement there.
And no moving on the one in Andrewville, the old court building.
That should be coming. There's some movement now.
Oh, right? Great.
What do we move the deadline to? March?
The CO is 12/31 this year.
All right.
The council did that.
No, but the planning board, we gave them 6 months, a month ago.
Yeah, February 14th.
Yeah.
So it blew by that. The holdup apparently seems to be the disconnect between CTSA's engineer, Kathy's organization, and the engineer for the developer. Again, Brian Millay got his nose into it, and he's going to be a really good mayor. He moved it along very nicely. Their engineer sent the very last document, teeny tiny little one-page correction thing, the engineer's cost estimate to CTSA, so I saw that Friday. So I think CTSA will be satisfied, and then I think they're ready. We're not holding them up.
We're not holding them up.
It's always been that easement requirement. So I think that'll move quickly. Plus, the redeveloper is finishing off the old Chinese restaurant in Highbridge, across from the exact in a level. So he's probably got a crew that is about ready to do something.
That'd be great.
That would be just, that thing has been two decades in the coming of, it's just every time you drive by that old building, it's just.
It's a little bit more sad.
Yeah.
Again, I blame former mayors for planning board.
I don't know who thought of that museum. That was more expensive than the Merck headquarters building.
That was
per square foot.
That was unbelievable.
it's losing.
That was, yeah.
But when that happens, Annandale's really
right.
You know, got rid of the broken down silos and the old barn foundations and the broken down mansion, and you know that the bank is now a restaurant that's.
Train station.
Well, and that was part of what was in that circulation plan. Was it said we wanted to put a park and ride over it?
Yeah.
Petticoat and.
Oh yeah. I know.
Again, we will because we've been trying to. We haven't made that decision per se. We've been kind of trying to make that current Annandale station work.
But they wanted to close Annandale station.
Right.
They wanted to close Annandale and Lebanon and build that parking lot.
Right.
That was going to be the transportation hub.
Even though Annandale only used Annandale because of the train station. Sort of like taking the mill out of Clinton. Or taking the river out of Clinton. I mean it's Annandale without a train station doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. That's just my 2 cents.
Well, you can knock down a little shelter, leave the parking lot there, and open up restaurants or something, and Rich's.
The point is it's better than it was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, 10 years ago, it was just potholes and
creases,
and then the lumber yard was a mess.
Annandale has really...
It's better. Right. I think when we finish off that darn old muni, it's going to be a nice place.
The main issue, really, is just it's the speed volume of traffic rolling through on Beaver. And it's almost exclusively residential, and there's a little bit of commercial on Beaver, but it's... So that's a problem. You have all that.
Yeah.
You have 10,000 cars a day rolling through a mostly residential area. In theory, should be our most pedestrian friendly part of town. It doesn't have incomplete or has an incomplete sidewalk network. It has more traffic than it should have.
Well, that's one of the things. It's in our minds, at least. We've got sidewalks now on the affordable housing project. Mm-hmm. There's a discontinuity there of the fire department and one residential lot, if I recall. So, you know, at some point in time, we'll go after some kind of a grant to fill that in.
I think we were hoping we redid Center. Center's on the list to get redone.
Yeah.
And then Center has a patchwork.
Yes.
And basically, you know, the county roads have contiguous sidewalk networks because when the county redid those roads, they didn't give residents the option to do the sidewalks. Whereas in municipal roads, we always said, oh, it's the residents' choice. And then sidewalks can only work if some people have this, some people don't.
Right. Well, as another grant, you know, as soon as we're done with the construction, we're going to try again.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if we're lucky, we'll have the money to do it ourselves if we can't get a grant.
Yeah, Center was about 150 on the we do that. I remember the sidewalks in a month, 150, 160, something like that. I can't remember if I recall.
Yeah, it can't be too much more than that.
Yeah.
So, things are, you know, kind of quietly moving along.
Well, we for years, though, I mean, we were pursuing the State Streets of Transit funding, because that was a pot of money they had to fix, the state had to fix sidewalks around train stations, so it seemed ideal. But it was in the Christie administration, they cut that in half, and it was more towns competing for fewer dollars, and it was just a tough road to hoe.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, you are the winner of the paper award.
I don't know how I got this stuff. I don't know what I need to do with